morning, everybody. This is WTBR's Morning Drive. My name is Bill Sturgeon. Going to be with you for about an hour, roughly, on and off. Tonight, I have with me someone I've known for a very long time, very, very long time. He's a wonderful person. He's been on the school committee longer than we've had schools. So his name is Dan Elias. He's a sitting member of the school committee. And we'll talk about that. He's been on for a long time, been through a lot of things with education, with teacher, with the building of Taconic and the reorganization of. So he's a really good guy to have on the show. I have a few announcements I'm just going to read quickly so that we can get to Dan. And there goes one, but I'll get it in a minute. Elk Spring Bazaar. That's going to happen on April 22nd, 2023, 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the Elks Lodge on 27 Union Street. Now, I know a lot of people don't care about this, but, you know, the old saying, if we don't understand or know history, we're doomed to repeat it. On April 22nd, Operation Iraqi Freedom, 2005, the 101st Airborne Air Assault Division started the air assault on Mosul, the longest air assault in history. So, yeah, maybe not breaking news, but a lot of people put their lives on the line for that. These are a great group of people. It's now SIP and Support. Pittsfield Unico, First Spirit Sampling Event. Formerly, it was the annual Unico wine tasting. Now, you're going to see in just a minute why they changed it. Friday, May the 5th, 6 p.m., the doors open at Proprietor's Lodge on Wambika Street. Sampling is from 7 to 9, and there's an event from 6 to 12 a.m. Here's what you can sample while you're there. Wine, beer, coffee, champagne, tequila, bourbon, and vodka. And there's also a full bar, music, generous appetizers, raffles, and auction. Unico is a wonderful organization. They do a lot for this community and a lot for individual people and groups. And if you can support them, I really wish you would. St. Mary's School in Lee, they have organized bingo. Doors open at 1. Games start at 2:30. It's full bingo. They have charitable games and all kinds of stuff. Their next bingo event is May 13th, and the one following that is June 10th. If you need further information, you can call 413-243-1079. Everybody's trying to make it, folks. Everybody's trying to make it. Matthew Tucker, who is running a series of training classes at the Pittsfield Community Television, he's going to start the spring production training series starting Thursday, May the 4th at 6 p.m. over the following 7 weeks. Now, you don't have to attend everything. You can pick and choose what you want. Training staff will teach you how to use the production truck, camera setup, run audio, prepare a location for a production, and so much more. If you're interested in finding out more, you can call Matthew at 413-445-4234, extension 0121. I'll tell you, the classes that people have gone through so far have really been successful, and people have learned quite a bit. The PHS class of 1969's 54th class reunion will be held, the Italian American Club on Newell Street, June the 24th. Doors open at 5 o'clock. The theme this year is rock and roll. You're going to have a special guest appearance by an Elvis impersonator. He will DJ and do a meet and greet afterwards. The appetizer is 5:30 to 6. The meet and greet with Elvis is 7. Music will start at 8 and go to 11. It's $50 a person. You have to make checks payable to Kathy capital or uppercase NIMONS 72 Taylor, TAYLOR Street, Pittsfield. And I get an update on that. This whole event is open to the public, but you have to call Kathy for more information by May 15th. And that number is 413-822-3477. So there you go. And, you know, it's a big deal putting on a class reunion when you've been out of school that long, because everybody's all over, you know, where. Lastly, but not leastly, don't go away. I got to pick it up because I dropped it. And if I don't do this, my chances of getting in the Golden Gates are not good. The First Baptist Church, turkey dinner, Saturday, April 29th, continuous eat-in or take-out, 4:30 to 6 p.m., standard turkey dinner. Dessert sounds interesting to me. I'll be there for that. Peach Crisp. First Baptist Church, you must make reservations by calling 413-442-8592. And you, it's really, you should let them know as soon as possible because they have to buy the food. There we go. Oh, boy, race through that one. Now, without further ado, foie gras, soup du jour, my friend from a long time, Dan Elias. Dan, what's going on at the school committee?
Not too much. How you doing?
I'm old, fat, and bald, but I'm still defying gravity here.
Yeah. Middle of the budget season. And, you know, so things are progressing along school-wise. So
I am totally impressed with the move to Taconic, to make Taconic, and I call it Voc-Tech, but I know they got their own term for it now. But listen, I don't remember where I parked the car, so I can't remember terms. But seriously, what a magnificent thing for the city of Pittsfield.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it far exceeded our expectations. So happy that it's worked out that way. It's really been a stellar program, and the future direction looks equally as bright. You know, when we first started out, we were going to have limited programs. I think it was 9, and now we're adding, you know, the video and performing arts, another course. So
I mean, hooray. When I heard that, I'm on like the advisory committee for that. Tammy Gage and Matt Bishop, what a team they've made to make all of these programs happen.
Yeah, they certainly have been. They have a really good pulse of Taconic and the people who help them run it. They listen to the teachers. They listen to all those involved. They make really good sound decisions, and those programs are really off and running, and they just keep on keeping on. It's really it's pretty impressive just to watch, and they're doing a very good job. They're a good team.
And the quality of the equipment, state of the art, the quality of the instructors, practitioners, now teacher instructors, it's a winning effort, I think.
Yeah, they're running, you know, the program so that, you know, they have the option of employment day one out of school and a significant amount of money. So it does really fit the needs of not only the students, but our community. As you know, many of those jobs right now are aging out. And, you know, we're in housing the ability to refurbish them with local people. And so there's a lot of avenues for the kids at Taconic. They can choose still to go to college if they want. There are many of them right now actually taking vocational programs and some BCC courses, kind of a dual role type thing. So there's many different pathways, but I do like the idea that they can have a significant amount of money day one out of graduation.
Yeah, and boy, you know, and I know, today's day and age, golly, try to get an electrician or a plumber. You know, they're and you're right, and I appreciate you not looking directly at me when you used the term aging out, because I could have been offended, but I wouldn't be. But we also can't forget my alma mater, PHS. They got exciting things happening there, pathways to criminal justice, to journalism, and I don't know them all. I apologize. I'm working to get the principal of PHS on with Tammy. And, you know, it's a school department on the move, dude. It really is.
Yeah. Well, that was, you know, that was the hope that, you know, we saw the progress in Taconic and its achievements. But now what about Pittsfield High? Because some of those students will not be able to attend Taconic. So you have to have an equally as good a product at Pittsfield High as at Taconic. And there are now a number of pathways. And the engineering, I thought, was just the home run I was looking for. You know, that and there's a lot of things to be coming forward with that program.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of other ideas out there for Pittsfield High School. I'm really excited about. They'll be coming forward. And the idea is, you know, you make it so there's multiple pathways for many different students, you know, to go on for success. Yeah. And I'm glad Pittsfield High is finally getting there. It, you know, it took a little while, but it certainly is. There's a lot of attention paid to it now. Just on a side note, I do hope I've mentioned this many times, you know, in different meetings and over the years. We're doing all the intangibles as far as the programs and on the right direction. I just hope that we, you know, spend the needed money to refurbish it, to get it up to par where it should be. Because I do really want to attract those choice in students from elsewhere in Berkshire County. And I think you need that physical plant to be able to make it happen.
Well, they seem to, I drive by there a lot because I live off in the Southeast and I go up Appleton Avenue. There seems to be a lot of activity with work trucks and things going on. So, but you know, and I can't forget this. I really can't. I just had the kiddos on the show along with Miss Blockner, the drama teacher, theater teacher. They're having a Little Shop of Horrors coming up in April, last weekend of April, first weekend in May. They have a matinee performance on Saturday. All I can tell you is that what a wonderful group of young people they are. That program is up and should be playing through the performances on my program, Discussions from the Berkshires, on PCTV, Channel 1301. I do everything I can to promote positive activities for kids. This guy you're looking at, Dan Elias, he's coached more kids than you can count. And Dan, how long have you been a coach? How long have you been coaching?
Yeah, well, I coached since I was probably about 17, and I well over, you know, 100 teams. I think I was up to about 117. I kind of stopped when COVID hit. I'm sure I will go back, just waiting for the right situation.
Right.
You know, but I did, you know, basketball, baseball, football, and loved every minute of it. So it was thousands of, you know, of kids, and it was, I miss it. And I'm certain at some point I'll go back. But I did enough for, you know, 10 lifetimes. So,
yeah.
You know,
yeah. But if you're ever out with Dan in public, I've never been in public with him where somebody even say, "Hi, coach." You know,
yeah.
I mean, that's it. When they say "hi, coach," they can be this high or this high. That's an amazing pedigree, Dan, that you have. But I think it also gives you a sensitivity in the knowledge of what young people are experiencing and what they need.
I'm glad you just mentioned that, because literally on my way here, I stopped off at the store, and as I was walking to my car, I heard from a car, "Hey, coach, hey, coach."
Yeah.
And I came over, and I had to, he was, you know, much older and bigger than I remember. And once I got the name, it, you know, it all came back. And then
Yeah.
I had coached his brother also,
Wow.
and you know, it's and then he was telling me what he's doing. He's welding. And you know, he's successful, and it's just nice to know maybe you had some small
Sure.
fraction of a part of that. And so I'm always thankful when that happens, and thankfully it happens often because it was,
Yeah.
you know, many. And it makes you feel good, like you did something worthwhile in life that had some kind of contribution. And
Yeah.
I think with the experience piece comes in with the school committee is you get an inside look at families, you know, that the struggles that many have. I mean, I've said this often that we a lot of people at home remember the school system as the way it was and not as it is now. And
Right.
as it is now is much more difficult than it was. And there are many single parent families. Dad left town when the kid was one, and mom's working three jobs to make ends meet. And there's not many male influences in the house, and sometimes it's vice versa, and so it's a struggle. And so coaching, you really get to understand the plight of our teachers, because people have no idea what it's like to be a teacher in this day and age.
No.
And you see why the numbers statewide and nationally are just shrinking by the minute, because the demands on a teacher are so great. They have to wear so many different hats.
Yeah, and it's a different world, Dan. You know, it's really a different world. And I think anytime that anybody can really show these kids a positive aspect, you know, like, you know, the old tool, if the only tool you had is a hammer, then everything's a nail. It's the same with the kids. If all they know is, you know, one thing, then
Yeah.
that's all they know. And
Yeah.
that's where I take my hat off. Going back to somebody corrected me the other day, and I'll accept that correction. Going back to John Krieger, saving throw, you know, falling on a sword to save drama, to save the bands, to
Yeah.
save, because that's what keeps some kids in school.
Yeah. You know, you got to get them to the front door first.
Yeah.
And once you get them to the door, they can take in many, many possibilities, but you got to get them there. And for some, it's the sports or the music and the drama. They all play the equal part,
Yeah.
but you got to get them there. And that's why it's so important. And I remember I was there with John Krieger, and I remember
Yeah.
how passionate he was. And I'm thankful that along the way, we've had superintendents who've kept up that kind of
Yeah.
ideology that we need to do that. And I'm thankful that we're still in that current state, because it is so important, and maybe even more now than ever,
Yeah,
just because of the makeup.
absolutely. Yeah, and you know, going right through Krieger, right through them all, you know, right through Dr. Eberwein, Dr. McCandless, Mr. Curtis, and
Bill Travis.
Bill Travis.
Yep.
Thank you for that. As I told you, I don't remember where I parked the car. So, Bill, yeah, I mean, we just have been very fortunate of having this group of really visionaries as superintendents, and that's what they are. They
Yeah.
really have been visionaries.
It's been an honor to serve with all of them, and I have good memories with all of them, and I've stayed friends with them, you know, for life. They were good,
Yeah.
decent people who really worked hard in really troublesome circumstances in the city. You're dealing with a large number of schools and many different dynamics, and it can really wear on you. The average life expectancy now of a superintendent is a 2.25 years. And so we've gotten, you know, far and away over that allotment of time, you know, for the ones we've had, and we're better for it. And I'm thankful that we have had those in
Me
place.
too. Yeah, me too. And Dan, just in a kind of an FYI, we're getting some rumbling and locking up, but that's fine. We're progressing. I just wanted to let you know. Yeah, no, I really and I want to just sit back and compliment the school committee, excuse me, and Dr. Cameron. You know, he's got a background second to none as far as his own education, but also being in education. And I watch the school committee. I really do. I do. Sometimes I yell at the television, but the Polish princess says that you can't hear me when I'm yelling at you on But the neighbors can. So she asked me to not yell at the screen. But, you know, bottom line, we have a very good school department. We have very good educators, and that's what they are. Yes, the title is teacher, but so many of the ones that I know personally, not only working now, but from years past, they were educators. They went far and beyond the teaching piece. They really did. And we both know and think the world of the former chairperson of the school committee, who was an educator, Kathy Yan. I mean, you talk about gifted and talented and brilliant. There she is. But yeah, I think today you made a really wonderful point, Dan. It's tough to be a teacher. Tough to be an administrator.
I mean, you know, when I go into school in the beginning of the year and I see they're rejuvenated and they got that big smile and, you know, they look at all the possibilities that lay ahead. And then and then you see them at the end of the year and they're beat. They're tired. They're worn out. And people don't get it. They, you know, you hear that, oh, they get the summers off. They get this. They just don't. They don't understand what the dynamic is in front of them in the classroom. And you know, they don't understand that, you know, I was fortunate to have my mother and father who taught me basics before I entered into school.
Right.
You know, as most of that generation did. But now some are entering with zero skills or skills that are far behind, and they have to pick up the slack. And then each grade has to kind of pick up the slack, and hopefully some point you run par. And, but we have, we've been very fortunate with, you know, the school committee members over the years. I think back and look at the names, including now, it is really a stellar group that we have. And there's been some just dynamic people that I've been lucky enough to serve with over the years. And, you know, Bill Cameron, I mean, he could be doing a million things, retired superintendent, you know, but he wants to stay involved and share his knowledge. And he has a lot of it. And a former mayor, you know, and Allison is a teacher, and Mark is, you know, on the financial aspect. And we have Vicky, who's a former educator. I mean, we have a well-rounded school committee, and I think it's we're always agree on everything, and that's good. That's the way it should be.
Yeah.
And I think the cabinet right now is a stellar. There are a lot of excellent people leading. We have the addition of Marissa as a deputy, you know, former Pitch Hill grad, melding in with a lot of local people who've worked their way up through the ranks. It's when you look at the names, it's a pretty stellar administrative group.
I just have to go back for half a second, Dan, and that is Sarah Hathaway. I was watching the other night. You know what she brings to the table? One, she was a teacher, but also she was the mayor. So she understands the entire dynamics of the school department, the job. And she has a dimension, really a wonderful dimension too. I got to get her on too. Going back.
Yeah, she's outstanding.
I'm sorry, you're locked up, Dan. There we go.
She's outstanding. She brings those dynamics.
Yeah.
She brings those dynamics of a former teacher, a former mayor, and there's no agenda to her. She's just kind. She attends everything, and then she just breaks it down.
Yeah.
She's not set in her ways.
No.
She's open to changing her point of view with information, and we're very lucky to have her there.
Yeah,
she's impressive.
She is an impressive lady, and you get it's an impressive board. Yeah, you know, I mean, the diet, like you said, not everybody agrees on everything, but that's okay. But no one, from my watching of it, no one is crude, rude, or socially unacceptable. Like, that's how I mean, you're all collegial. You may disagree, but you don't attack or you don't put down. And to me, that's what I look for. Maybe we could pass some of that on to other organizations, but we'll talk about that off air. There's a lot of things that we all, you know, One of the most important things, I think, to me in my background in the criminal justice world, and I mean this, if we don't provide these kiddos with a good education or a practical education, they can go get a job. Then we're dooming them, but we're also dooming our own selves. And that's where I hate to keep going back to Connick, but so many kiddos, and I've interviewed them, they're making successes of themselves. I happen to, George Haddad and what he's done with that, bringing in that Toyota certification. Are you kidding me? That's like a paycheck.
Yeah. I mean, that was such a welcome addition.
Yeah.
It's you can't say enough good words about it. It's unbelievable. And we're lucky to have him and others in our community that step up. Again, to create those different pathways. You know, I always think back to Carmen Maspiano, that famous saying of pay me now, pay me later. And it's so true. You gotta give them the opportunity to succeed.
And Dan, I've seen it. I've lived it. Where their troubles started in first, second, fourth grade with issues, and there wasn't the proper intervention. And next thing you know, I had them in the violent youthful offender program. Because if the only tool you have is a hammer, everything's a nail. And that's how many of them were pretty black and white. You're my friend or you're my enemy. And if you're my enemy, there isn't anything I hesitate doing to you. But I have to reminisce for a minute, because you were on the board when the brilliant people from Boston came out. And they were going to do away with metal fabrication. Remember that?
Yeah.
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 And then the guys from Lenco. Well. Yeah. The guys from Lenco and all the shops around here came to the meeting. And I guess the people from Best and went home with the tail between their legs.
Yeah, there certainly was an outcry. And, you know, at the beginning stages, it looked extremely bleak because they weren't bending.
No.
And then, you know, they saw the light pretty quickly. And thankfully they did. And, you know, they wanted to limit the number of programs. We had to fight for that.
Yeah.
It was quite an endeavor at the time. And I'm glad that many people stood their ground.
Yeah, and again, Dan, with your institutional memory and history, that was a very trying time for the school department, fighting for these, for the school committee, against the big brains in Boston that didn't have a clue of what we needed out here. And I applaud every single board member. I applaud the school department people who said, we're sticking to our grounds. This is what we need. And by God, we got it.
Yeah, there was a long list of people that were involved. And they all had a hand in it.
Yeah.
And they were an impressive list of people. And thankfully, they were in the place at the right time to be able to make that impact.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not for centralizing everything in Boost. And because, you know, I had relatives that live in Southie. And the history is this. The first son is a priest. The second son is a cop. And the third son is a politician. And, you know, they have more politicians in Boston than we have in the whole part of the rest of the state. So, I applaud you and all the people who stood their ground there, because now, Dan, now you planted the seeds and the seeds have grown into more programs.
Yeah. I mean, who would ever have thought we'd be at the number we're at now and growing and the participation rate, you know, and I've always been, you know, we spent a lot of money, you know, and wouldn't it be nice to see we could attract not only our own students that have choiced out back into Pixel High, back into the clinic, but also grab some of those Berkshire County dollars.
Yeah.
That's significant money you know, that we can, you know, we're on the losing end of that, but
yeah.
it's the number shrunk. But, you know, hopefully we can continue on that path, because those are significant dollars. And
yeah.
And also it's the imagery of it. When you lose your own student, that's not a good sign. And now the numbers are showing we're starting to retain,
yeah,
you know, some of our own, and attract within the county as well. And so that needs to happen and continue happening. And with the offerings of the Conic and the offerings, you know, Pittsboro High, and now we're making a lot of adjustments too, that start that process of middle schools and elementary schools. You know, they're doing, you know, a large study on what the direction will look like those schools. But we're also putting in the services right now that are needed, the social emotional, you know, services that are so desperately needed, and be able to combat that piece of it. We've applied a lot in the budget to really hone in on, you know, special education, emotional, and again, also the raises to keep some of those teachers and folks that are working for us there. So it's an all encompassing ball that you got to try to you know, delve into. But I think the progress is there.
And, I do.
Hopefully we'll continue on.
We're going to take a little bit of a break here. That good looking guy with hair, his name is Dan Elias. One day he'll look like me, but it's in the future. This is 89.7 WTBR FM on your radio dial. We are simulcasting on PCTV, channel 1301. Please stay tuned. When we come back, we're going to talk about how devastating COVID was to the entire educational process, not only Pittsfield, but the nation. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive with Bill Sturgeon here on WTBR FM.
Support for WTBR comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union, proud to support high school arts and sports programs to help our community thrive. Greylock Federal, with locations throughout the Berkshires and online at greylock.org. And from BeFair. BeFair is one of the largest premier human service agencies in Berkshire County. If you're looking for services for a loved one or are interested in caring for the people we support, visit BeFair.org today for available opportunities.
The Berkshire's only rock station, 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield, Massachusetts. And now back to the Morning Drive with Bill Sturgeon on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
We're back. The guy you see there, his name is Dan Elias. Dan, how long have you been on the school committee?
26 years now.
26 years. So he has institutional history, he has institutional memory. We were reminiscing in the first half of the show about the effort that it took to get what we wanted from Mass School Building Commission to build the new Taconic. It while now it's beautiful and it's stellar and every, you know, it's just accepted. Well, it wasn't accepted for some of the programs, and the one that always sticks with me is the metal fabrication and welding, because bottom line, Lenco armored car. I took the tour. I don't know if you went out that day, Dan. I took the tour. I walked out of there amazed.
That's impressive.
Oh man, I have to tell you. And they needed help. And we have a lot of little shops and that around the county here that need welders.
And the money they're paying day one.
Yeah. And so Dan, how about you go ahead and take the show here about some of the areas that you wanted to cover. But before you do, I do want to tell people Pittsfield High, Proteus, Theater Group, the last weekend in April, the first weekend in May, they will be doing Little Shop of Horrors. And they're a wonderful group of kiddos. And if you can support it, please do support it, because I don't think we'll find any of those kids name in the paper 20 years from now for some other issue.
Yeah, Pennsylvania, I'm certainly going to attend one of those shows. They're always excellent. And yeah. And Deconic as well. We'll have their spring show. There's a new teacher there who came quite a long distance to come be with us. So I think that she has been doing a great job. She's younger, and I think she was Chicago. I believe that she came from. And so they've been working really hard. I actually was there one day, saw them auditioning in the auditorium. So I think it's going to be a great show on both accounts. So
that's great.
Hopefully if people will take a part of it, and if they haven't seen one of those shows, please do. They'll be amazed at how well they're done.
Yes. Yeah. If you reach out to the Taconic people, have them get a hold of me. I'll have them on the show too.
Yeah. Please.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So now what about budgeted? There was some discussion about budgeted positions. You want to get into that a little bit?
Sure. So you had a lot of positions that were funded through ESSER, and those are grant type dollars. They're not built into the budget as the way other positions are. They run out. And so the idea is, as with grant positions, you use them for a short period of time to make an immediate impact, especially many were used for the after COVID effects.
Yeah.
And then, they're used for to see if they can serve a really good purpose. And then you make a decision, as a school district, if they should continue on, and then you pay for them.
Right.
So that's always a difficult problem once they elapse and then you pick up the bill. But then you really delve into what we should keep and not keep, or what we should keep and maybe we need to eliminate to try to keep the budget at a responsible manner.
Right.
So there's a lot of social service positions in there. There's a lot of special education services. There's a lot of the vocational. There's $3+ million worth of raises that we needed to do because we just weren't competitive.
Right.
And along with that, we had, I think it was over 600,000 in teachers that we didn't bring back that were through attrition or class sizes. So a lot of work went into that, trying to save some money on that. And then there was, I think some of the dialogue was on some of the administrative positions. I think probably the mistake was calling them administrative. I think many of them are on the secretarial level, but that was the direction they went. You do have a district register, that has a lot of components to it. And I think they're going to have, a lot of services after the initial registration piece.
Yeah.
And I think it's going to do really well. I asked for data from other communities. What do they have as far as this? How do they do the registrations? And we were, pretty far behind once they show us that data, that there are more than just what we have in place.
Right.
And the same went for the assistant human resource director. These were positions I was lukewarm on in the beginning. Once I got the data, once I saw what other communities of comparable size and demographics have in place.
Sure.
In all these, we were, considerably behind. As far as human resource position, I think I have 106 unfilled positions. So it's a constant moving piece.
Yeah.
Bill Cameron had mentioned I served this position once, and, at this point in the school year, we'd have a couple. And
yeah.
So this is how much it's changed. And so there's a lot of that goes into it, and to have an assistant when other districts have that assistant or two or three. Athletic director was another one I was lukewarm on when we started, and what other communities have and responsibilities. And the fact now MIE has changed the way we do business, and that a lot of our games are quite a long ways away and limited driver to get there. So there's a lot of things that have to happen. You have the interim co-principal at Morningside, which I think is hard for some people to wrap their head around because, although it's been done in other places and it's not out of the ordinary,
right.
It's not it's not a normal practice for us here in Pittsfield to have, but that came out of need. There was an application process that we didn't get the applicants. It was getting very, very close to the start of school and a school system, Morningside, that we lose, the large percentage of teachers every year. So we had to try to get some kind of stability. So the superintendent and the cabinet decided, look, we have two outstanding individuals here that offer, you know, two parts of the spectrum that we need to fill this principal position role. They don't have a dean at the moment, like other schools have. So the idea was, let's run this model. And so far it's been, you know, very successful. I think they're going to retain more teachers than they have in the last number of years because they do like the direction. And again, they don't have that dean. So people just see the name co-principal and they think, oh my God, two principals and what a waste of money. But they're not understanding that you have a certain administrative staff at each of the schools.
Yeah.
And although you know, another school may not have a co-principal, they may have a couple other pieces that make up for that. And so it was a direction, you know, for at least one more year for Morningside that made sense to give it some of its needed stability.
Yeah. And there's also, too, there's the dynamics of the school itself. You know, I can remember, and this is really hard for me to remember yesterday, but I can remember 50 years ago or 60 years ago, they had the principal at PHS, they had the principal for vocational at PHS, and they had a vice principal and a vice principal for technology, I believe it was that. But they had two vice principals.
Yeah. It's not a, you know, it's, you know, different schools can have different makeups depending on their needs.
Yeah.
And the population they serve. You know, Morningside is a tough building to be a principal in.
Yeah.
It's a tough building to be a teacher in. There's a lot of dynamics that take place. And right now I do think we have two people that are doing a really good job as a co-principal. We have some very good administrative staff and we have some excellent newer teachers there, and hopefully they'll be back with us next year. But again, each school, you know, has to run differently than another. It's not a one size fits all. We mentioned Boston, you know, earlier. You know, they have to have a template to run on, and their template is kind of one size fits all. Then you can make that case, and it's not a one size fits all.
No.
You have to make adjustments for each individual school based on their needs.
Yeah, their needs and their mission. Like now you've got PHS, their mission is X. You have Taconic, their mission is Y. You have Crosby, that their mission is, you know, A or whatever.
Yeah.
And I have to say, also I've heard wonderful things about Crosby and the principal there.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that because I've known her for a very long time. She was a longtime principal at Capeless, did not have to go to Crosby, was asked to do that. Decided, you know what, I love the help. I'll take that challenge. And, you know, when I walk through, I see the teachers in each of the classrooms, and it'll be, hi, how are you? It's nice to meet you.
Right.
Every year, it's nice to meet you. Like when I go to Agramont, it's like, hi, Dan, how you doing? You know, how was your summer?
Yeah.
It's because it's kind of a, you know, stagnant, you know, people that are staying there.
Yeah.
But Crosby, there's a turnover from year to year. And the same with Conti.
Yeah.
Same with Conti, same with Morningside.
Yeah.
So I was really happy to see that she went to Crosby because I thought the very first piece that she would do was try to build some relationships there to get them to come back next year, because that's the beginning piece.
Yeah.
The folks at Morningside, Jen and Liberal, they said, you know what, that's a piece we have to tackle. Build the relationships, we get them to come back next year. And she did that at Crosby. That's a piece that I have to do first, because if I do everything else, if I don't do that, then I'm dead in the water. And so from what I understand as of late, a decent number are going to be coming back next year for the first time in a while.
Oh, wow.
There's a lot of positive things happening there. And it's a difficult building because you have a couple of other entities within that building. It's not just Crosby. You have the academy. You have, you know, you have a lot of different facets running in that building. So it's a difficult one, but she's been around a while, and she's making a difference so far.
Well, Candy, you know, I used to evaluate leaders and supervisors. Candy is truly a leader, and like you said, a feather in her cap. She didn't have to take it.
No,
she had. I mean, you talk about a smooth running operation, because I used to go there for veterans things like Memorial Day and Veterans Day for a couple of the teachers that I known since they were kids. And it was, you talk about a well-oiled machine. It was a well-oiled machine.
Yeah.
Leave that and go. And then, and now look at the progress that's been made there. I mean, every school, every is a challenge. I don't care what people say. And that should have come out through COVID. You know, I bumped into a lady one time and she said, you were on the show. She said, you know, I've got two kids in their home from COVID, that, you know, the school was closed. And she makes the comment, I only have two. I don't know how you do 20, you know.
Yeah,
COVID really turned the apple cart upside down, I think.
And the thing is that what's hard for people to envision is that, you know, they saw the initial impact of COVID and then the short-term impact of it. But now we're getting back to normal. We're going to ball games. We're going to the stores. We're getting kind of back to a normalcy. But what they don't understand is the damage and the negative effect that it will have on for a very long time.
Very long.
We will not really know what the negative impact it had for quite some time. And, you know, we're still struggling to fill some positions. So we don't really know what we have is adequate right now until we kind of get there. So it's kind of a two-edged sword, filling those positions to the point of where we're combating the after effects of COVID. I think you're going to see the damaging effects for quite some time, because you lost significant time right in the middle of the game. And I just wanted to add, you mentioned the principals, and we were talking about, you know, Candy at Crosby. We're lucky to have some really outstanding principals.
Right now. No, I didn't mean to just.
Yeah.
But you have some.
When I start looking through, and it's like, wow. I mean, look at the new individual we have, you know, for a couple of years of Herbrick now. You know, scores are just really taking off. A buy-in by the school.
Yeah.
You know, Reed has been a solid ground. Agarmont, outstanding. Williams, outstanding. Conti, Carey Light.
Yeah.
And I'm trying not to leave one out, anybody out, because they're also standing in their Allendale, and you know, some long time Pittsfield people went through the system and understand. But we're lucky at this point to have the principles we have in place right now, and it's not easy.
No,
it's not easy.
And I think some of those schools, and now more, there was a nucleus of Agarmont, you know, Williams, Allendale. That had the stability of a staff for a long time. The Polish princess taught there for, I don't know, God, forever.
Yeah.
But now I'm seeing that nucleus of stability growing across the entire system. And that's because of the leadership within the building.
Yeah. It's absolutely huge, because now people know what to expect. You're building the relationships up with the teachers.
Yeah.
And then they're more likely to come back. And then you're building up with the families. You know, you're not starting fresh day one.
Yeah.
And, you know, and each school, as I said, has their individual problems. But when you have someone there that's been there for a while, they can tackle them, and they are. You know, and there doesn't mean there's missteps, doesn't mean there's things that aren't running smoothly, doesn't mean there's problems, because in this day and age, there certainly is. But they. You know, as a unified body, take the step to try to rectify the situation.
I am so impressed with the school department in Pittsfield. And, you know, I mean, one of the things that so many people forget, I guess, and it's real simple. We're an urban school district. You know, I had to defend the superintendent one time this past winter in one of the coffee shop debates. about while he canceled school. And, you know, they could have gone to school today, really. Do you know, well, Mount Greylock didn't cancel and Monument didn't cancel. Right. Those kids don't walk to school. Our kids walk to school. And I can tell you, excuse me, when you're thinking about it's cold, it's snowy, the streets aren't plowed or whatever, or the sidewalks aren't shoveled, there's a safety factor there. And I can remember Dr. McCandless saying, the hardest thing for him to do, and I think Mr. Curtis is the same way, is to cancel school, because they know some kids won't eat that day, or they won't eat what they should eat.
Yeah.
It's always easy to sit in the other guy's shoes and second guess, but when you're up there driving around the schools at 5 a.m. to see what the sidewalks look like, then you can start throwing stones at people.
Yeah. You know, look, there are, you know, a number of things that we could do better. Things that could, you know, change. It doesn't mean we don't have our issues and problems. And I think, you know, at least with Joe Curtis, he's looking at those and putting the dirty laundry out for everyone to see.
Yeah.
So I'm not saying there isn't issues or not problems, because there certainly is. But the school cancellation is not one of them. Right. I always say err on the side of caution, because
absolutely,
what people don't understand is that many of those routes, those walking routes, rely on sidewalks. And many people just at that time of day cannot do those sidewalks. So it forces the students walking out into the main road.
Yeah.
And you know, exactly, as well as I do, that people don't drive as courteously now as they used to.
Yeah.
And you're just putting them in a really bad situation, being forced out into the road. So why take that chance when at the alternative, you could just extend it to a nice summer day at the end of the school year?
Yeah.
You know? And I know it causes problems. I know it causes issues. Some of you just mentioned it causes havoc for some parents who have to work and have to find alternative means. But just one kid with one accident, then you'd be thanking God that you were extra cautious.
Yeah, and you're right. Always, you know, something I learned as a manager, as a supervisor, always err on the side of caution. You know, and you're right. Our schools start, excuse me, even here on William Street. It's some people don't get their side, you know. One other thing before I forget. We, you know, everybody always talks about this. We're an aging community. Well, let's start acting like it. You know, some of us, in myself included, I don't have the stamina. I don't have the get up and go that I used to have. So I rely on other people to snow blow and do that on my main sidewalk. Well, there's some other folks in my position, my age and all this, that they're not up and they're not shoveled. They're probably shoveled 9 or 10 o'clock in the morning. Well, that's past school time.
Yeah.
And a lot of our kids, I see them every morning walking to Herbert. And I just think we need to back off a little bit. Everybody needs to. I've never seen, I've been around the school system a long time. This radio station used to be at Taconic. I would watch the kids come in on Monday morning, literally run into that cafeteria. And you could tell that they hadn't had a whole lot to eat from Friday on out.
Oh, there! People would be amazed at the number of students that, you know, have this kind of an issue, and it really comes to light during the summer. And thank God, we have a wonderful food service program.
Yes, we
that
do.
Has a number of locations that can meet, you know, many of those needs.
Yeah.
But the numbers are always staggering of participants, and that just tells you what kind of an issue there is.
Right.
You know, again, they remember it as the way it was and not as it now. And getting back to the snow, they remember it as, you know, as it was. And when you had four or five people in the family, brothers and sisters, they go out and shovel.
Yeah.
You are a much, much younger population. Now, you're a much older population. They're not able to go out there at, you know, 6 a.m. to be able to do it. And that people lose sight of some of these small facts that, that make a big difference in the grand scheme of things.
And I would say I have to take my hat off to the new governor and the legislature for funding school meals.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they know, they understand, they know that this is a real life issue. This isn't some made up wonk kind of thing or whatever the term is. This is a real issue. You have seen it. I have seen it. And you know, I applaud the governor and I applaud our legislators for voting for it. It's a different world, Dan. You nailed it right from the very beginning of this program. It's a different world. In some of us, and I put myself in the bowl, some of us have to sit back and depend on the Joe Curtis. And, you know, we're lucky to have an assistant superintendent who was from here, came up through the system. You know, there's so many positive things about the school department. And you want to throw stones. You listen, I can, it's not hard to throw stones at anybody. Yeah.
But you know, Bill, a lot of people who throw the stones.
Yeah.
If you went into a different community,
yeah,
you'd hear some of that same negative fraction of people making a lot of the same arguments in that community.
Yeah.
So it's not just inclusive to just us. There's certain things that we can do better.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is people, there are certain percentage of people who like to complain. But they would be complaining even if it wasn't Pittsfield, if it was somewhere else within Massachusetts or elsewhere. And because some just don't see the big picture. They don't see the change.
No.
And, you know, we have a smaller population of students, but the need for social services within our school system is tenfold of what it once was.
Yeah.
And people, it's hard for them to grasp the changes if they've been, you know, they don't have that direct connection to the school system anymore.
And, you know, one other thing before we sign off, Dan, that we would be remiss if I didn't say this from personal experience, knowing this lady, Anne Marie Carpenter, and what that whole team of people do today, the proper term, adjustment counselor, guidance, whatever it is probably tenfold what it was when you were in school and probably 20-fold from when I was in school, you know, and Dan, if you laugh, I'm going to get really mad at you. We still had chalk and blackboards when I was in school. I got most of the way through grammar school clapping the erasers, you know? So, Dan, you've been a wonderful guest as always. Thank you for your service to the city. And your commitment to this education of the kiddos of the city. So with that, to you and your beautiful wife, to my audience, to my viewers, God bless and have a great day. But also do something today. Do something positive today for somebody else. It'll make you feel better. Really and truly. Trust me on that. Dan, the very best, buddy. And when you get your next haircut, save the clippings. Next winter, I'm going to weave a wig.
Okay.
You're the
always
best.
Always good to see you.
Well, you're a good person and a wonderful school committee representative. Everybody have a wonderful day. And like I said, do something positive for somebody other than yourself. Take care, Dan. Thanks.
Thank you. Keep on.